Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you hear that dropping sound? This is Wretched Radio. It's the day when a brand new episode of Life Without the Numb drops. That's the cool way of saying we're releasing another episode of Greg Gifford's lecture on Life Without the Numb.
You're hip.
Very. You know why I'm hip, Jimmy?
Why?
Because I've leveled up.
Oh.
That's right. Not exactly sure what that means, but apparently it's a good thing. Life Without the Numb, it is awesome. It is so helpful. It is so available for free at fortisplus.org, and it includes a study guide that you can use inside of your church, your Sunday school, your small group. This will help so many parents deal with the issue of SSRIs, which is exactly what Lecture 7 is all about from Life Without the Numb. By the way, Jimmy, Greg was just on Ally Beth Stuckey's show.
Ah.
Yeah, spent like 90 minutes talking to her about these things. I suspect a lot of people were like, wait, what? Because this might be all new to them. If you listen to Wretched Radio regularly, which we frankly haven't found a single person who has done that. The point is, we've been talking about this subject, courtesy of Greg Gifford, who is a Fortis Fellow, because the issue is so widespread. You know people who have children on psychotropics. Maybe they themselves are taking psychotropics. And we don't want to approach this subject glibly, like, okay, get out those stupid pills and read Bible verses. The end. No, we don't want to act like that. But for the people that are indeed, in some measure, relying on psychotropics to help them with PTSD, depression, anxiety, whatever the issue is, they need hope. They need to know that there is a better way that you can live life without the numb. Take it away, Greg.
As a Christian, when you see passages like these, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, or drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach, medicine has its proper place for physical ailments. There's no guilt. There's no compromise. You're not lesser than. God has given those as a grace. But what psychotropics are doing is not exactly taking care of your body. They're not exactly fixing brain issues. You see, psychotropics are thought to affect neurotransmitters in your brain, which are affecting mood regulation, how depressed you feel, how elated you feel. But the problem is that it's unclear what exactly the psychotropic is doing. If you've heard of the chemical imbalance theory, and it's just a theory, it's unverifiable, it's not provable. This theory thought that if serotonin is low, well, then let's boost it in some way, and you're not depressed anymore, and ship shape, you're good to go. So now antidepressants are assumed to just help you regulate moods. But you might be surprised, or maybe not surprised, to hear of people who take antidepressants and say, all I feel is numb now. I don't feel anything. This series of Life Without the Numb is how can I move past just this blank, zombie-esque existence? How can I move past that into the vibrant life of peace and joy and contentment that the Lord has called for me? You see, psychotropics are not treating the material, they're treating the immaterial, supposedly. But biblically, we would say the psychotropic can't treat the mind. You cannot medicate the mind. What are we doing? We are tinkering with the organ of the brain.
If you recall the distinction, your brain is that organ, your mind is you. Psychotropics, they can play with the brain, but the brain ain't you.
We're not exactly sure what we're doing in the tinkering of the organ of the brain. So the question is, should a Christian take psychotropics? And let me read this so I'm cautious with my words. psychotropics can, not necessarily should be taken if you obtain them legally and maintain God-honoring motivations while taking them. They can be, but I'm not saying they should be. You are treating the brain and you are not treating the mind if you're taking psychotropics. So let me give you a couple of framing principles and then I'll land with a key takeaway. When we talk about psychotropics, for all of the stories that we hear about how they've helped, there are equal stories about how they've not helped. So someone will come up to me and say, but Greg, my uncle started taking psychotropics and it changed their life. And I'll say, yes. And I could counter that with this other person that started taking psychotropics and their thoughts went on a downward spiral almost immediately. So before we say, hey, psychotropics are helping everyone that take them, just do your research. Do your research and look at the way that it's affecting folks. So as a Christian, do you have to wean off? Not if you have God-honoring motivations and you're obtaining them legally. I want to be clear about that. But as a Christian, you know they're not actually treating the internal person of your mind. They're treating the organ of your brain. You have that clear. You're not sure what they're doing, but they're tinkering with neurotransmitters in some ways. So that's all you know that's happening. When should you wean off? And this is an important principle to start to work through. When you're numb, when you're a zombie. I have met people that are on so much psychotropics that they're a zombie. They cannot function. They can't go to work. They can't go to school. They're just zonked. When you're getting to that point, you're being unfaithful. Can I just say that? God has entrusted to us certain responsibilities. Me as a husband and a father of three, I can't say I'm just staying home today. Why? Because I don't feel like going to work. I'm zonked because of my meds. I don't have that liberty. God's called me to be faithful. So if you're sensing that these psychotropics are just zonking me, I'm numb, I can't function, then maybe it is time to wean off. I think another criteria, and this is what I mentioned in the book, is that you're too keen on it or that your hope is in it. Your meds are everything. So your focus is on how much you love your meds. Your focus is on my meds. I need to take my meds. Oh, I don't have my meds. Okay, we need to start to kind of like press pause here. You don't need your meds. You need Jesus Christ. You need the Holy Spirit. And your meds may be affecting your body, but they're not causing you. And you may want to wean off if you cannot focus or you're easily distracted, struggling to focus. So key takeaway from this lecture, as you think about medication, medication for the body is appropriate, but psychotropics are not affecting your mind. Psychotropics cannot treat your mind. So if you feel it's time to wean off, work with a medical doctor to do so. Don't go cold turkey. Don't feel that you're healed and you're just going to chuck the bottle. Work with your doctor and wean off in a way that will help you adjust physically to that process. And then focus on true mind transformation.
What is that sound effect? Well, it's life without the numb. That's the end of that particular lecture. You say, I want more. I say, you'll have to wait till next week. When we drop lectures 8 and then 9 and then 10, Life Without the Numb, it's available for free. Now you say, I still have some questions. Let's see if I have some mind reading skills. That's right, mind reading skills, because after each one of the presentations on Life Without the Numb, I would approach Greg with questions that maybe you have too.
How do I know as a Christian who is struggling with an issue, has been given a prescription that I don't need it? Is there a quiz? Is there some sort of test that I can take to go, oh, I don't need these anymore. Help me to work through the process.
I think there's two answers. There's the triage answer. This person is not in their right mind and we just need to stabilize them so they can get back. And that's often where a behavioral health unit, you're put on a hold. Just, you got to sleep. You got to sleep. Okay, that's triage. But on an ongoing basis, if there is not a physiological issue, if your doctor hasn't discovered something is off about your body, then you're saying it's not a body issue. So I don't need psychotropics. I need to focus on the mind and see what the mind actually does to my body.
All right. Is there ever a bit of a blending in the triage and the ongoing? Where, yes. Okay, explain that.
Yes. So in the book, one of the things I say is, there are certain people that are uncounselable. They haven't slept. They haven't eaten. They're undernourished. And you just can't penetrate. They're a shadow of themselves. That person I have seen use tranquilizers or some type of sedative to just go to sleep, get rested, and get their body refreshed. But that is a crutch to help you get back on your feet and then focus on what got you to that place in the first step or time or decision.
Sorry, I'm afraid you're going to have to go to FortisPlus.org if you'd like to hear the rest of that conversation and the additional lectures, all a part of a 10-lecture series available at FortisPlus.org. It is absolutely free. It has a study guide. And by the way, the book to which Greg was referencing, that would be his book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. You can find it pretty much anywhere. You can also go listen to his interview with Ali Beth Stuckey. This is an effort not to lob grenades. It's an effort to help you and give you hope if you are one of the millions of Americans who have been prescribed SSRIs. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity. People who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org. You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though that's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok. Your marriage is under attack. And the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Lawson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at FortisPlus.org.
Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is it a lie if I didn't intend to? This is Wretched Radio. Okay, I said you'd have to go to FortisBlessed.org if you wanted to hear the rest of the exchange between me and Dr. Greg Gifford in Lecture 7 of Life Without the Numb. But I'm just going to keep playing it because it's just too helpful. It is a needed conversation on SSRIs, and it seems to me the conversation is heating up. That Ali Beth Stuckey had Greg on, that's a good sign. That there's an increasing number of Christians that are questioning SSRIs, and there's an increasing number of secular folks who are saying, are these things really what we are purporting they are? For instance, this is reported from Reuters. Study finds young people on antidepressants more prone to violence. Uh-oh. The date of that article? 2015. We've known about this. This has been going on for a long time. It increased risks of suicide, violence, and homicide at all ages. The FDA in 2007 admitted that SSRIs can cause madness at all ages and that the drugs are very dangerous. Otherwise, daily monitoring wouldn't be needed. Quote, families and caregivers of patients should be advised to look for the emergence of such symptoms on a day-to-day basis, since changes may be abrupt. And that's scary. Why don't we hear those warnings on the TV commercials? They kind of brush by them, don't they? Back to Reuters, all patients being treated with antidepressants for any indication should be monitored appropriately and observed closely for clinical worsening, suicidality, unusual changes in behavior, especially during the first initial months, at a time of dosage changes, increases, or decreases. The following symptoms, watch for them, anxiety. Wait, they're supposed to help with anxiety. Agitation, panic attacks, insomnia, irritability. These are the side effects. Hostility, aggressiveness, impulsivity, akathisia, restlessness, it says in parentheses. Hypomania, mania have been reported in adult and pediatric patients being treated with antidepressants. That goes back a decade. But more and more people are starting to say, is this really helping us? 2019, 43 million Americans had an SSRI prescription. That's 1 in 8. That's huge. One study found there are only 15%, that these pills are only 15% more effective than sugar pills. Oof. From 20 to 24, the number of kids on SSRIs rose almost 65%. With use among teen girls rising 130%. Let's continue the conversation I had with Greg Gifford from Life Without the Numb on SSRIs.
Let's use a particular, recognizing there's always danger in that because there's just a broad range of issues. Somebody is, the black dog howls on their chest. It is overwhelming. And they can't find their way to the light. Can they be taking psychotropics for that?
Yes.
All right. And as they start to feel better, and they, let's say they get off of the psychotropics and the black dog returns, what should that person be doing in regard to psychotropics?
What were they doing while they were on them would be my question. Because if you were just taking the meds and you were not focusing on mental transformation and mind renewal, then you weren't really rooting out the black dog in the first place. You were suppressing the symptoms of the black dog.
Is there ever an instance where somebody, pick your emotional issue, it's a depression that is deep, that does need to be on them for life?
I would go back to the God-honoring motivations and taking them legally. Let's say you've tried to wean off twice and it just went poorly both times and you're like, nope, not trying that again.
Fine.
Great. But your focus is not on the medication itself. You don't know what it's doing to your brain, but it seems to be helping you in some way so you can use them in that way for life if you wanted.
What I'm gleaning from this is that these psychotropics, as a principle, let's say not a law perhaps, but as a rule, that they can be used. You use the word crutch or a Band-Aid, but that does not deal with the mind. So use them judiciously so that you can go about the business of soul care.
Absolutely.
All right. Paint a picture for me, if you will, of an individual with ADHD. You've said that typically kids about sixth, seventh grade, they've got ants in their pants, they fidget in school, and they're given a diagnosis and they're given medication.
Right.
Is there ever an instance with a kid for what we call ADHD to use these psychotropics?
It's interesting because a mom wrote in, I did an episode on Transformed about ADHD, and she asked, should I allow my daughter to use meds to help her focus at school?
By the way, that podcast is also available at FortisPlus.org. If you've never listened to Transformed, you're missing this every single week.
And my answer was, you can, if they are helpful, while your daughter is also recognizing that her giftedness may not match school, and she is having to deny herself and not just depend on the medication to help her focus. Mm-hmm. Some people would say the same thing about coffee. In all seriousness, I need a cup of coffee to kind of get me going and focus. So we would say, yes, there's, you can do that. You're not in sin for doing that, but recognize that that medication is not going to make you discipline your mind.
Mm-hmm. All right. I watch the commercials that go on for days. If you're suffering from depression, take this medication. And then we get the laundry list of side effects,
right,
which includes suicide.
Right.
Do you believe that there's a connection, a genuine connection between psychotropics and the increase in suicide rates we're seeing in society?
Yeah, I mean, medication madness. I think it's Peter Bregan that wrote specifically on that. Jewish guy, not a Christian, not arguing for biblical worldview, just saying that a lot of the suicidal ideation is connected to psychotropic medications, mm-hmm. especially when alcohol is connected to that in any way.
All right. I would like for you, having said everything that you've said, that we've understood the role of psychotropics, nevertheless, there are Christian parents who perhaps have a child that does need them, or it's God-honoring. They're getting them legally.
Yep.
They're working thoughtfully. Yep. They're consulting with elders. They're doing everything right. And yet they still feel like, this doesn't feel right. I don't want it to be this way for my child. What would you say in that situation?
I would say just zoom out and assess, what are you medicating them for? And most of the time it is ADHD, number one. But then as the child grows up, it's anti-anxiety, you know, panic attacks come and that pill seems to help. What are you medicating them for? Because I think a lot of the ADHD stuff is actually just giftedness. And what's happening is your child doesn't do well in that context. If you have a daughter that's at the point of a panic attack and the only thing that seems to be helping right now is a pill, then I would say, okay, then you can use that pill in a God-honoring and legal way, but you're encouraging her to actually get to the root of what's cultivating anxiety in her life, because she's going to have to discipline her mind. She's going to have to take her thoughts captive. Otherwise, that anxiety will be there for her as soon as she stops taking the medication.
Mm-hmm. Greg Giffert, Life Without the Numb, a demonstration that there are secular folks who are recognizing maybe we should slow our roll a little bit when it comes to prescribing psychotropics because so many of the diagnoses are so arbitrary. A very current article. This is from September 18th, 2025. This is from Zero Hedge. On September 12th, UK child and adolescent psychiatrist Sammy Timimy published, "When mental health diagnoses become brands, the real drivers of our psychic pain are hidden." Now, that was put in the Globe and Mail, a Canadian newspaper. So the word is starting to get out, and it isn't just Christians that are pushing for a conversation on this subject. All definitions of psychiatric disorders are subjective. Now, again, this is coming from a secular psychiatrist who deals with adolescents. All definitions of psychiatric disorders are subjective. You know, it's amazing. You go to a medical doctor, they take an x-ray and say, it's this. You bring the x-rays down the hall to another doctor who says, it's that. Now that's more scientific. Psychiatry is anything but scientific. It's observational and subjective. They are not objective facts such as a broken bone is. This means they can be expanded in a myriad of ways to capture a kaleidoscope of distress, alienation, dissatisfaction, and that psychiatric diagnoses are consumer brands, not medical diseases. That is encouraging that we're at least saying, it's broken. All the pills ain't fixing us. They're causing us to be numb. There's got to be a better way. And I think it is Christians and only Christians that can bring the balance to the conversation and offer something that I know the psychiatrists are after because it's baked into their name, soul care. And a pill, it can't fix your soul. Life without the numb, fortisplus.org, free. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.